come to the end of Joshua. It is decision time. It's crunch point. The people can be uncertain no longer. And we're going to look at the bits of the whole chapter, but the main verses to focus on, if you like, are in the middle, in verses 14 and 15, and especially this phrase that we have: choose this day who you will serve. And that's the thrust of this morning's message. Choose this day who you will serve. Some Christians of certain background find the language of choosing a bit strange. We need God to work in us by His Spirit to make the right choice. We don't naturally choose God. Our hearts go other ways. And there's a lot of truth in the things that have been said there. But we have the language very plainly here. Choose this day who you will serve. And perhaps you're at a crunch time. You're considering following Jesus, but you keep putting it off. You're sort of playing with the idea. You're never really committed in your heart. Or you've been following Jesus, but you're getting enticed to go a different direction and to jack it all in. Or there are things that aren't pleasing to God and they're really sort of shouting in your ear. You're hearing the voice of them and you're tempted to put them first. And maybe you'll find it a challenge today as we're in this passage. I think we all will to some extent. This chapter is at the end of Joshua's life. He's led the people well. They're settled now in the land. And this is really his parting message, almost his final words. And drawing on the whole chapter, we're gonna pick out four things particularly for this morning. This is the first. Choosing to serve God makes sense. Choosing to serve God makes sense. So he's going to urge them to serve God, to urge them to put God first, but he doesn't browbeat them, he doesn't bully them into it. He appeals to their sense. He says it's the obvious thing to do. It's the obvious thing for you to do. In the first 13 verses, he recalls what God has done for them. It is a bit of a revision, a history lesson, as Josh said. And it talks of the things that God gave. He gave, and he gave, and he gave. He's given them so much as a nation, as a group of people. He brought them out several times. He brought them out. He brought them out. He delivered them from the slavery that they had, from the misery that they had under Egypt. He provided for them. He protected them. They're now in a land sometimes described as a land flowing with milk and honey. 18 times in those first 13 verses you have the word I, followed by something that God had done for these people. And what's more, he makes clear that they didn't deserve any of it. It was all of God's kindness and grace towards them that they'd had all these things. So what should they do? Serve the Lord. It's obvious, Joshua says. Entrust themselves to a God who has been so good and so gracious. And the same is true for us. Even in this broken world, we have so many blessings from God. As the song goes, morning by morning, new mercies I see. So you had your Weetabix and orange juice this morning, or whatever. You perhaps got under a shower of hot water and it all drained away. You've had somebody friendly, perhaps in the home or maybe when you've got down here. You drove down in your Renault or whatever. You got energy to walk through the door. Days are jammed packed with God's goodness and his blessings. Paul speaking to some people in Turkey in Acts 14 and verse 17 says that God did not leave himself without witness, for he did good by giving you rains from heaven and fruitful seasons, satisfying your hearts with food and gladness. It says elsewhere, the goodness of God leads you to repentance. So it makes sense to follow God, to serve God as a reflection of gratefulness to his kindness to us, which we don't deserve, packed into everyday life. And if you're already a Christian, you have even more reason to devote yourself to God. Jesus has died for you on the cross, taking away your sin and guilt. You are right with God. You are part of his family. The Holy Spirit has worked in your life. These are tremendous reasons to serve God. Romans 12 starts like this. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, which he's gone through in great detail, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship or your reasonable service. Given all that God has done for you, his mercy, live for him. Get it in 2 Corinthians 5 as well. The love of Christ drives us on to serve God, doesn't it? For the love of Christ controls us or compels us, because we've concluded this, that one has died for all, therefore all have died, and he died for all, that those who live no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised. So it's the obvious thing to serve God. It's the reasonable thing to keep serving God because of his mercy and grace and his goodness. So that's our first port of call this morning. This is the second. Choosing to serve God right now. Choosing to serve God right now. Now, I want to be careful here. Committing to put God first in our life is a big thing, and it needs to be thought about. Jesus talks about counting the cost. And there's a danger of sort of high pressure tactics leading to sort of shallow, impulsive decisions that aren't genuine, that don't run deep, that don't stand the test of time, that lead to bewilderment in those who do it and others. And there can be a danger of fostering that in certain sort of Christian approaches. But nevertheless, Joshua here does call them to decide, and he calls them to make a commitment today. We're in the middle verses, 14 and 15. Now, therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in faithfulness. Put away the gods that your fathers served beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. And if it is an evil thing in your eyes to serve the Lord, if you don't want to do it, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your father served in the region beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. There are options as to who to serve. Joshua's day, there were the old gods, if you like, the gods of the fathers, things that the people in the past had served instead of the true and living God. There might be old gods for us, the gods of previous generations, perhaps, the god of money, the god of self-respect, the god of tradition, the god of career. There were new gods in the land they now came to, and there can be new gods for us. Freedom, self-expression, our phones, our computer game system, maximizing my pleasure, which is my right and which life is all about. And in the light of old gods and new gods, Joshua urges them to serve the Lord. Now therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and faithfulness. Serve the Lord. It's as if he says, if you don't want to serve God, at least make your decision, at least make it plain. Now your colours to the mast, work out where your life is going. And make it now, make it today, he says. Choose this day who you will serve. I was talking to somebody in recent months who was no longer wanting to live for God, wanting to go their own way through life. And I hadn't planned what to say, I didn't expect the conversation, but just one of those things I couldn't help sharing my own experience. I wasn't a Christian for many years, up until teen years. I wasn't from a Christian family. Then God had made me a Christian, and he brought me to the point where I love his word. I found forgiveness. I have peace. I have hope. I have the presence of God. And I was saying, I don't want to go back. I don't want to be where I was before. I'm so glad that the Lord hasn't left me in that situation, that I didn't carry on the life that I intended to live and wanted to live like so many others. I'm not going to go back there. Perhaps you've done something similar when you talk to people. Your heart comes out about your own experience. And Joshua says something similar here, but with more power and much clearer than I would have done. Because he ends this bit and says, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. There's no doubt where Joshua stands in this. There's no doubt about the influence that he's going to bring on those he loves and who are close to him. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. There are times in the Bible where things are brought to a head, where the sort of challenge is made, where you get, if you like, to a crunch point. You find that with Elijah, 1 Kings 18, when he speaks to the prophets that are going away from God. And in verse 21, he says, and Elijah came near to the people and said, how long will you go limping between two different opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. Decision time. Don't have a foot in two canoes. Choose one way or the other. Similar, really, in Deuteronomy, where Moses says, Deuteronomy 30, verse 19, I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I've set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life. In the New Testament, Peter, speaking to a crowd of people who are very concerned now about the direction of their life, and he says this to them in verse 38 of Acts 2. Peter says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Decision time. You've been dithering? Not committed? Going through a wobbly time, drifting away from the Lord. You know, you can't have a foot in two canoes for very long. It's a dangerous and wet business to have a foot in two canoes. Can I say it's even more dangerous spiritually if that's the way in which we go on in life? Choose this day who you will serve. Time to choose is the title of our message this morning. We can see thirdly in this passage, choosing to serve God, not easy. Choosing to serve God, it's not easy. So how are the crowd going to respond to what Joshua says to them? Well, they're in on this. But here's what they have to say, verse 16, next little bit. Then the people answered, "Far be it from us that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods, for it is the Lord our God who brought us and our fathers up from the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery, and who did these great signs in our sight and preserved us in all the way we went and among all the peoples through whom we passed. And the Lord drove out before us all these peoples, the Amorites who lived in the land. Therefore we will serve the Lord, for he is our God." So they're in. Count me in. Yes, I'm going to serve the Lord. We understand the reasons for it. They sort of give a bit of a summary, don't they, in those couple of verses of what Joshua had said. And you may think, well, Joshua would just say, well, that's great. Say no more. Sign here. That's got that sorted. Let's move on. But he doesn't. He tests what they say. He doesn't want any thoughtless commitment. Verse 19, "But Joshua said to the people, 'You are not able to serve the Lord, for he is a holy God, he is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions or your sins if you forsake the Lord and serve foreign gods.'" He tests them off. And you say, well, steady on, Joshua, you'll put them off. Don't deter them. Have you ever been surprised at the way Jesus handles some people? Sometimes when they show interest in the Gospels, and it seems as though Jesus is sort of putting them off. You think, I wouldn't handle it that way. He wants them to think it through a bit more. You find it, for instance, in Luke 14, he tells them to count the cost. He says, "You cannot be my disciple unless you put me first." Have you thought about that? And he applies it to family and said, at the end of the day, I have to come before your family. Have you thought through that? And at the end of the day, I have to come before your money. Have you thought about that? To follow me is to put me first. Have you counted the cost? You don't buy a flat, do you, without a lot of sort of financial homework and research. You think it through. It's a big decision. Joshua tests them. Jesus tests them. When people take their marriage vows here, some point in the service, the person says, "It must not be undertaken carelessly, lightly or selfishly, but responsibly and in the fear of the Lord." It's a big decision. Don't go into it casual. And it's the same with following the Lord, you know. God will help you. God will be with you. But it's not easy to be a Christian. It might be unpopular to be a Christian. You will have to say no to certain things that aren't good, and that will be hard. You might look odd at times in the culture. It's right to sort of test that desire and be sure that it's a deep-seated desire. Well, still the people, though, are definite. And the people say, verse 21, "No, but we will serve the Lord." So I do want you to think it through this morning. Following Jesus does involve self-denial, taking up our cross, as he puts it. It's worth it. In this life, it's worth it. Certainly in the next life, it's worth it. He is worth it. But it's not easy. And if you're going to serve God, you need to know that as you go forward in making that commitment. Well, did it last for these people? Verse 31, Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders who outlived Joshua and had known the work that the Lord did for Israel. There seemed to be some pretty long-lasting serving going on there, didn't there? So you're counting the cost. There's a choice to make today. There's something pressing. Don't want you to sit on the fence. Perhaps you've sat on the fence already for weeks and months or years, and God's word is ushering us off the fence, that it's time to commit, but it needs to be a thoughtful commitment. It needs to be real and deep. Well, we're not finished yet. See how the chapter ends, or this section of it ends. Choosing to serve God made definite. Choosing to serve God made definite. They were definitely wanting to serve God, and Joshua wants it to be made definite. This is how it ends. And that happens in a number of ways at the end of the chapter. Some of them in keeping with sort of covenant ratification ceremonies common at the time. If you read the commentaries, you might get weighed into such things. But here, what happens? Well, it's witnessed. It's not in a corner. It's not just a private little chat. There's lots of them there. And he says, you are witnesses. You know what each other are committing. You've heard each other's voices. This is a witnessed event. Marriage is a witnessed event, and you have witnesses, it's public. Other gods were to be disposed of. The bins around Shechem probably had their fair share of household gods and wooden idols and carvings sort of shoved into them. There was going to be a time of sort of public shedding of the things that were wrong and needed to be got rid of. God's word was read in their hearing so that they understood what was happening. And then what's that under the tree? Under the tree by the holy tent. What's that big object there? It's a large stone. What's a large stone doing there over by that tree, by that tent? Joshua tells us in verse 27, and Joshua said to all the people, behold, this stone shall be a witness against us, for it has heard all the words of the Lord he has spoken to us. Therefore it shall be a witness against you, lest you deal falsely with your God. And every time they saw that big stone, they thought, oh yeah, I remember that. I remember that event. Yeah, I remember what we said there. And it stood as an ongoing memorial to this occurrence at the end of Joshua. Well, we live in a commitment light age, don't we? We don't like commitment. We like to be free and loose. But choosing to serve God is something that is definite. It's something that's definite. It's, if you like, it's a long-term relationship, not a one-night meet-up. And it's good to be right and definite about it. It's good to go public. With what Jesus has done for you, it's right to be bold for him. How does that happen? Well, in a number of ways. Others are told of the change of direction. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved, it says in Romans 10. There will be a clear change of lifestyle if there hasn't been already. There will be a clearing out of things that you know are no longer consistent with serving God and putting him first. There will be some changes. And in the New Testament, baptism is the normal way for believers to show that they are on the Lord's side. We read from Acts 2 where Peter told them to repent when they were concerned about their life. And Peter said to them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ." And then a few verses later, verse 41, "So those who received his word were baptized, and they were added that, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls." So can I ask you, is your love for God definite? Have you told others? How has life started to change? It's an ongoing process. Have you gone public? Choosing to serve God made definite is clear here in Joshua 24. Well, you and I may be ditherers. We may be waverers. We may wobble about many things in life. And many of them don't matter. But that's not the way to be with our Creator, the Lord, the Provider, the Saviour, our Judge, our Father. Joshua 24 brings us really to a day of decision. Choose today who you will serve. Well, I'll leave just a minute or so for you to reflect personally, pray personally, before we have our final song. Well, shall we stand then to sing our last song? It reflects the calls of other things on us, but then our response above them to put Christ first and to follow him. Above the voices of the world around me, my hopes and dreams, my cares and loves and fears, the long-awaited call of Christ has found me. The voice of Jesus echoes in my ears. Let's stand to sing the last song. accept that in the part of your word we've read this morning, there is a challenge for us as we go forward. Yet we thank you that it's a challenge with reason, and we remember your goodness and your grace. And we do pray that you would help us to go onwards, seeking to serve you, putting you first above other things, knowing that that is the blessed way, the right way, and remembering all that Jesus has done for us. Help us, Lord, to be outgoing and to be positive and to be definite in our commitment to you. We pray for strength to do this, asking in the name of Jesus. Amen.